Today, the opportunity is one that we're going to experience of another section of Romans 8. Today's message is titled Love and Included. We're going to begin with including Jesus Christ in our message today. God, we thank you in your triune glory, the love that Father, Son, and Spirit have, and we are so blessed to be included with you. We thank you for today and for the opportunity to even be here and to have even the technology that gives us the opportunity to share. And we pray that you will facilitate in the right time to go back in person. But in the meantime, we're thankful for this. And God, we ask that you would take this message, such a powerful chapter in Romans 8. God, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, that we would hear and understand and glean exactly what you have for each one of us. We thank you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. You know, as we go through and think about this last 2 weeks, we started in Romans 8 and we got to talk about walking with the Spirit was the title. No condemnation is what really sticks out or comes to mind with that section. And then last week, walking with hope was another piece of Romans 8, an incredibly powerful chapter Romans 8 is, and it's one that is well worth reading often. And if you can, change translations to read it, to see what each one says. It'll be the same message, but it'll be phrased maybe a little different, and you'll trigger a thought or something that you maybe not thought of. Today, we're going to finish Romans 8. Thank you, Val, for reading those. Today, I'm going to use the Holman Christian Standard Bible, but the reading that Curtis gave of Psalms, the reading that Val gave, all are geared towards the same message, love and included. And the question I pose for you is that how you start your day? Do you wake up? And as you begin, you know just inside that you're loved and that God has included you. Is that a conscious thought? Is that something that you are sold out to, you believe? Or do you sometimes question, depending on what's going on in your world? You know, God's timing is far different than ours. When we pray or when we look or when we feel insecure or something, we question where we are. We question that relationship sometimes. Think of the story in Genesis of Abraham and Isaac traveling days to do a sacrifice. And the sacrifice was reported to be Isaac. The inner turmoil that maybe was going on in Abraham's mind as he's taking his son to be, because God said, a sacrifice. And as each day would pass, can you imagine the anxiety, the thought that was going through his mind? And it was right at the very end, after Isaac had been bound and put on the altar, that God showed up and said, no, I know, Abraham, you believe and you trust. And he stopped that and provided a ram that was caught in the woods and the thickets. But God never stops to show up. Even when your timing says, where are you? He's right there. We have an assurance that God will be with us every step of the way. We sometimes feel insecure and doubtful. And that's human nature. That's what we get caught up in is, where are you, God? But the question that comes to mind so often, can we really be assured that God will accomplish his goodwill in our life? Do we believe that? Do we trust that? Is an assurance that there is no question in our mind? The answer should be a resounding yes. Romans 8:26, he reassures us that we never need rely on our own strength. For the Spirit helps us in our weakness, even weakness related to our prayer life. And it was pointed out this week on Wednesday at our prayer meeting that we had, someone mentioned, how does that prayer life, when you don't even know what to say, how does that work? Again, in Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness because we do not know what to pray as He would. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And He searches the heart, knows the Spirit's mindset, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And that's the Holman translation. He's always with us. He's always interceding. Have you ever found yourself at a loss for words? You know you're wanting to express something to God, but you don't know how to say it. Maybe it's full of emotion, a loss, anger, hurting, joy, or euphoria. I can tell you that I have spent time at the hospital in their chapels trying to express a loss of a family member that's impending. You know what's going to happen, but don't really know what to say. There's a battle going on inside, knowing that I need to express something, but I can't do it. I cannot get the words to come out. And when it talks about those unspoken groanings, I've experienced that. And it's at times you think, well, I'm just blubbering. But your heart is what's speaking. God, through the Holy Spirit, knows exactly what the words need to be. And He brings those to the very throne. As we go on in this section, Paul continues with a series of fives. He gives us five convictions in verse 28, five affirmations in the verses 29 through 30, and he finishes with five questions in verses 31 through 39. And verse 28, as we begin, is showing the focus is on God. It begins and it's always on God. In verse 28, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. Now the phrase, all things work together for God, there's a better translation or a literal meaning of that is, we know that for those who love God, He is working. All things would be a lot of negatives. And those aren't necessarily working for the good, but God can take any situation and He makes it working for the good. The focus is always again on God. And the first conviction, we know that He works in our lives. We know that He's there. The second conviction, we know that God works for the good of His people. There's no question. If you are a follower of Jesus and you understand who He is, His work is there. He's looking after you. Number three, we know that God works for the good in all things. That's more of that literal translation of that phrase. We know that God works for this good. Number four, we know that God works in this way for those who love Him. Are there days that you love God more than others? Are there things that happen in your life that point? But the thing that's constant is God always loves us, no more or no less. The fifth conviction, we know that those who love God are those who have been called according to His purpose. We are a part of those that God has said, I want you. And you have said yes. So those are works that are happening in your life as we speak. In all things, God is working towards our supreme good. And that good is transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ. And we wonder sometimes, and maybe sometimes it's just me driving, and I can realize that I got a long ways to go to be like Christ. Sometimes those behaviors that I don't like come out. We'll go on to Romans 8, verses 29 to 30, and talk about the five affirmations that he has listed. In verse 29, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. The first affirmation, those God foreknew, denotes a personal relationship of care and affection. And for some references to go with this, Psalms 1 through 6, Psalms 144, verse 3, Hosea 13 and verse 5, cared for them. There's no question. Psalms 1:6, 144, verse 3, and Hosea 13, 5. The second affirmation is predestined. God's purpose for all humanity. I want to emphasize all humanity because that's his purpose, is to bring them into relationship with him. That's what God, he is predestined. He wants all. And a reference to that is Ephesians 1, verse 5, and verse 11. Ephesians 1, 5, and verse 11. Continuing on in verse 30, and those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. The third affirmation is a calling to conform all people to Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 is a connecting there. The fourth affirmation in this section, justification. To be justified by faith is not merely about receiving forgiveness. It's about participation through faith. It's not just setting in this is all it is, but it's participating with Jesus and what he is doing. And the Holy Spirit will lead each one of us to do that. The fifth affirmation is glorification. Glorified is in the past tense here. As you read that verse, the word glorified is past tense because this final step is so certain that God's eyes through Christ, it's already accomplished. There's no future for that thinking. It is real. And he actually confirms that by putting it in the past tense. In short, the triune God will complete his plan for us without failure, in that we can have great assurance. And if we can take that one sentence, and if we can internalize that in our world so deeply, that God will complete his plan without failure. If nothing else sticks, hang on to that. That is solid. You are a part of that plan, and it will be completed. The final five are questions in Romans 8, 31 through 39. Verse 31, what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? The first question, if God is for us, actually can be translated, since God is for us, who is against us? It's posed as a question, but in reality, God is for us. All powers of hell may set themselves together against us, but they can never prevail since God is on our side. Can you think about that? Imagine all the powers of hell, the enemy, all of that is way more than we could ever stand up to. The power of Satan and his demons is huge, but they will not prevail since God is on our side. That's such a hard thing to think about, is the magnitude of what is against us, that we have no hope of sharing or overcoming except for God is on our side. He loves us, he cares for us, and he makes the difference. And those powers will never prevail. In verse 32, he did not even spare his own son, but offered him up for all of us. How will he not also with him grant us everything? The Holman reads a little different there. It's a little tricky to read. The second question comes from this. Did not spare his own son. God did not spare Jesus. He gave us all things. Is the God who already has given his son. God has already given us the supreme, the most costliest, the most valuable gift of all eternity when he gave us Jesus. In giving his son, he gave everything. When you receive a gift, it's neat and it's appreciative, and especially if it's a very timely gift that just absolutely is very needed and you appreciate it. But when you stop and think that God gave you Jesus, that he gave his son for you, that's everything. The magnitude of that is almost incomprehensible. We are recipients of the greatest, most costliest gift ever, Jesus Christ. And he gave it willingly. It wasn't mandated that he do that. He gave himself willingly to be that gift for us. In verse 33 of Romans 8, who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. The third question. Our conscience accuses us when we think of things in our life. Our own conscience is working on us and questioning things. And know that Satan and his demons never stop accusing us. We are constantly being thrown at the throne by Satan. About, well, did you see what he did today? Or if I do this, he'll respond this way. Those accusations are being hurled against us all the time. But those accusations against us will not last. Because God in Christ has chosen us, and because God has justified us. To know that they have no bearing. We can beat ourselves up, but those accusations will not last. God has chosen us, and he's justified us. Romans 8, verse 34. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Can you picture what it is like to have Jesus constantly interceding on your behalf? Not necessarily your spouse, although that's a different story. He's interceding for them as well. But to think about that advocate right there interceding constantly. Question number four. There are many who want to condemn us. Sometimes our own heart condemns us. And you can look at 1 John 3 and verse 20. And here's the bottom line. They will all fail because of Jesus Christ. Those condemnations go away because of Jesus. Christ rescues us from condemnation, in particular by his death, resurrection, exaltation, and intercession. And probably one of the most powerful verses in the Bible we talked about 2 weeks ago, Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation for those who are united to him. put your hat on and hang on to that. That is so true. There is no condemnation because of Christ Jesus. Verse 35 of Romans 8, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction, anguish, or persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? And you could add to that list anything you could think of. The fifth question, Paul asks, who or what will separate us from the love of Jesus? And then he gives a sample list. Trouble, hardship, persecution, which together seem to denote the pressures and distresses caused by an ungodly and hostile world. And if you get caught up in the rhetoric of this world, in the politics of this world, of the angst and distrust and lies and fake news, can those take you out? Can those take you away from that love? He goes on to famine or nakedness, the lack of adequate food or clothing, danger or sword, meaning perhaps the risk of death on the one hand and the experience of it on the other. And we talked about that last week, that is a real possibility. That is a part of the sacrifice that we may have to make. You know, as Paul wrote this, he himself experienced all of this and worse. What would it be like to be stoned to death? Paul did this more than once. It wasn't just probably a one or two stones. I'm sure when he was left for dead, when he walked up, people that saw him probably thought it was the walking dead. Can you imagine what that was like? And yet he got up and he returned to the city and started preaching Christ again. That is the commitment that he's talking about. Don't allow anything to take you out. Keep your focus on God. His love is constant for you. As it is written in verse 36 of Romans 8, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loves us. In the other translations, we are more than conquerors. We don't necessarily see ourselves in that role, but we are. Grasp it. Pray about it. Ask God to show you how that looks in your life, the power of being a conqueror. In verse 38 of Romans 8, for I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present, things to come, hostile powers, height or depth, or any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you could add anything you want there to end that sentence, that nothing will separate you from the power of Jesus Christ. His love is encompassing us all. You are loved and included. There's no question. It's assured. Paul speaks of that in Romans 8. He declares that nothing can or nothing will take you out. If you trust in God, if you put Jesus first, because his love for you is constant. Christians are not guaranteed immunity to temptation. I think each one of us could affirm that on a daily basis. We're not guaranteed immunity to tribulation or tragedy, but we are promised victory. Over all of those, over all the temptations, all over the tribulations, tragedy, we are promised victory. Sometimes when we go day to day, and you find yourself saying, well, what day is today? Because it's just like yesterday. Do you see a victory in your life? Do you recognize that those battles are still going on every day, but you're promised that victory? God's pledge is not that suffering will never afflict us. He doesn't promise that that won't touch our life, that we will suffer, but that it will never separate us from His love. That is a promise. When we're in the midst of hurting, suffering, being emotionally upset, don't allow it. God wants you. He steps in and will separate you from those. Do you still get to experience the impact of it? Yeah, most likely you will. But the victory is there. We are glorified, as it said, past tense. It's happened. Our confidence is not in our love for God, which is frail, fickle, and faulting, but it's His love for us. As a human, we will stumble. We will make mistakes. We will not love. But with Jesus, His love is constant, and it's for you and me. It's for us, which is steadfast, faithful, and preserving. It's constant, that love for us. So as you get up on a daily basis, recognize that you are loved and you are included. There's nothing that will take you out. You are included. Thank you for joining us today. We would love to hear from you. You can reach us at our webpage of gcderby.org or on our Facebook page at Grace Communion Derby. Thank you, Jesus, for loving each one of us. We ask that you watch over and bless this week. Amen.